I have a God that will never fail. Let me hear you in the house if you have a God that never fails.
Hallelujah.
You know, I just found that song maybe 2 days ago. And I was like, okay, I got to switch out the one that I had.
I'll be riding with you.
Come on, ride with me. All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I am happy to have my mommy with me today. All the way from White Plains, Maryland. And I thank everyone for being present this morning. I don't take it lightly. I told my mom before we left, I didn't think there would be that many people here today, but you all have surprised me this morning, so I am very, very grateful.
We love you.
Amen.
Stop it. You don't get a big head. Stop it. So, let me start out by giving you all a warning. This message will not be what you typically would expect on Mother's Day. So let's pray. So Lord, I thank you for life and favor, for health and strength, for the deeper, higher, and further you. I thank you for the ups and the downs, the ins and the outs, the mountains and the valleys and the ebbs and the flows. I thank you for my church family. I thank you for their love and support. I thank you for the pastors of this house. I lift up all mothers, from the new mom to the heavily seasoned mom who has been in this thing for years. And lastly, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach your mighty word. Thank you for giving me ears to hear and a heart that is chasing after you. I am in awe of all you've done in my life. You are worthy of the glory. You are definitely worthy of the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Although I am wishing everyone the happiest Mother's Day ever, I want to take this time to dedicate this message to the moms on the flip side of motherhood, such as the postpartum mom, the struggling mom, the single mom, the exhausted mom, the abandoned mom, the doing it herself mom, the this is all I know mom, the doing the best I can mom, the mom that needs guidance, the mom that needs help, the forgotten about mom, the unappreciated mom, the sleepless nights mom, the wit's end mom, the three jobs mom, the mom who feels like the weight is solely on her shoulder, and the I'm about to give up if something doesn't change soon mom. Whether you are a done it all right or done it all wrong mom, I pray that you find the strength you need and the help you require. I pray that your parenting day by day falls in line with the word of God and that things will turn around for you. See, gone are the days that you are overlooked and gone are the days that you feel unseen. Rest assured that somebody is praying for you. The church is branded as a hospital for sick people, but even in that, how do we expect them to get well if we don't acknowledge their existence and address it? As a body, we will judge what's going on out there in the world, but we are not talking about it inside these four walls. I did say this was not going to be the typical Mother's Day message.
All right.
The warning is out there. I've dedicated the message. Now let me declare the word of the Lord.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So my title for today, for those of you who are taking notes, is Give Me a Child. And if I can say it the way I think Hannah would have meant it, look at here, Lord. Give me a child explanation point. However, I am sure it would have been done with all due respect. Give me a child. See, Mother's Day, I heard it recently, is a day of thanksgiving, a day of thankfulness, and a day of appreciation for all the mothers, play mothers, aunties, sisters, teachers, babysitters, and female caretakers alike who have ever played a role in the life of another. Now, did I capture everybody in that?
Go ahead.
Did I hit it on the head? Yeah. I didn't leave anybody out, did I?
Go ahead.
Okay, because I want to make sure every female is included, because contrary to popular belief, it does take a village to raise a child.
Amen.
Please don't think that I am not that I'm trying to dismiss the role of men as a part of the village. They are very important. But for our purposes today, it is the females that are to be celebrated. It is Mother's Day. In accordance with our scripture and what we can likely deduce, I am sure Penina would receive a number of Mother's Day wishes from all her babies, from her husband, and maybe even some of the neighbors that were close by. But the Bible tells us that the way way she used her identity as a mother left much to be desired. She used the mere fact of motherhood, the mere fact that she was able to produce a child, let alone children, to make another feel shame and disgrace. You don't get to one-up somebody because you are fortunate enough to have something they do not. Anytime you use your blessings in life to make another feel bad is a misuse of what God intended. God never blesses us just so that we can rub it in somebody's face. He blesses us to be a blessing and to help one another.
Amen.
Now, the silver lining in this is that Hannah had a husband who loved her and adored her and took care of her, although she bore him no children. But this other chick, Elkanah's other wife, had a husband who merely tolerated her, though she was able to populate, or as they would say, pop out plenty of children. Perhaps Peninnah thought Elkanah will begin to desire her more than he did Hannah. Perhaps she thought he would love her more deeply since she was the one who could give him heirs. But when he did not, she found opportunity to stick it to Hannah in an area that would hurt her the most.
Go ahead.
Y'all know how we do?
Yes.
We know just enough about a person to sucker punch them in a place where they are most vulnerable. Peninnah preyed on Hannah's inability to have children to make herself seem more superior. Peninnah, as far as I'm concerned, went as low as people can go. What is it about celebrating the weaknesses of others that makes us feel great? For some, Mother's Day is a wonderful and joyous occasion, and for others, it is filled with a bunch of tear-producing, trauma-filled emotions, and yet for others, it can be considered at best between bitter and sweet. I'm just trying to get someone to understand that Mother's Day, in a nutshell, isn't always a happy occasion. Check out Hannah. Hannah in our story today felt the emotional roller coaster of not having a child or producing any children. I believe she teaches us that you can know a person for years and not know the traumas they hide deep down inside. Even her husband, the one who knew her biblically and the one who knew her intimately, didn't get it. "Why aren't you eating?" he says. "Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? Dude, no," would have been my answer. Because this type of scar goes so much further and cuts so much deeper. Elkanah just wouldn't understand. For Hannah, this was an annual episode, event, and issue with compound interest over time. The wounds grew deep year after year. The Bible says Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. It goes on to say each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. So in other words, this annual pilgrimage into God's presence wasn't always marked with excitement and filled with joy. Not for Hannah. And somebody needs to be bold enough to talk about that. Not everyone who walks through those doors on Mother's Day is filled with over the moon joy. Some have to put on a brave face just to get in the place while hiding their hurt and pain. See, Hannah's tears tell a real and different story than what you expect on Mother's Day. And somebody needs to wake up and pay attention. Here's what I find funny in this. I find it funny that the Bible doesn't record Peninnah taunting and teasing at any other time. Why was it only on this particular occasion that she exhibited this bully-like behavior, especially when they were on their way to the tabernacle? So you might ask, what is so significant about the tabernacle? The tabernacle, for those of you who don't know, symbolized a place to go and meet God. It was where his presence resided. It was God's dwelling place in the Old Testament. Yet Hannah, each year, was reduced to tears. But on the other hand, on the flip side of this, even though she was reduced to tears, the tabernacle was the perfect place to go and give it all to God. Because what I find and what I've learned over the years is that nobody can do you like God can. It is nothing like getting in the face of God and getting the mess of the day or the mess of the week or the mess you are facing off of your shoulders. It is vastly different for us today, isn't it? We don't have to travel for days or weeks to get into God's presence. We can just stroll our little selves into our prayer closet and talk to God anytime we want. They, on the other hand, were required to travel three times a year to meet God to meet with God at his tabernacle. And because of that, I don't think Hannah felt she could sacrifice any more time. She was fed up with the teasing and taunting. It became entirely too much. So according to our story, give me a child was Hannah's prayer and plea. It was the best thing she could think of to remove the stigmatism, to remove the taunting, to remove the teasing, and to get her out of her current misery. And here's why I believe God honored her request. The first reason God honored her request, in my opinion, is because Hannah laid it all on the line. The Bible says that after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. It says, Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah, it says, was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. As you can imagine, Hannah desired a move of God. Anybody in here need a move of God? Anybody here need him to answer a prayer? Anybody here willing to lay it all on the line? Hannah has something to get off of her chest. She wanted a son. And after years of teasing, she finally went to God in prayer. She went in filled with bitter anguish, but came out with a heart full of joy. And I heard it said that it's the needless things we bear when we do not take it to God in prayer. It's been years of this sort of thing, all because in the midst of having children, Penina got it twisted and thought that the more kids she had, the more love she would receive. However, it was Hannah who received the choice cut. Let me see if I can bring this thing a little bit closer to home. If you've ever had to budget because you had a family to feed and you didn't have much in the way of extra funds, you would tend to buy items that were stretched. Although you may look longingly at the high-priced steak in the meat case, it is likely that you settled on that 3-pound log of ground beef. Y'all know what I'm talking about. According to our story, Penina got the 3 pounds of ground beef because she had more mouths to feed. It had to stretch. But it was Hannah that received the ribeye. In other words, Elkanah would take Penina and the kids to the McDonald's dollar menu, but Hannah to the Spencer Steakhouse. Penina, you better learn, girl, that Elkanah's love isn't summed up in quantity. It is exhibited through quality. You better know your man. Penina, she did everything in her power to push Hannah down, but God pulled her right back up. Now, that's why you give it all to God and watch him work it out. He will do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, wish, hope, or imagine. Hannah was marked by unusual favor even in her barren circumstances because God still had his hand on her just like he has his hand on you. Look at it this way. He may have prevented that in your life, but he gave you this instead. So stop complaining and just be grateful. There's a song that says, his will is what's best for me. It might not have been your choice, but it was the right thing for the season. Hannah laid it all before God, and God was pleased. That is why there are things you just don't handle on your own. It is better to lay it all before God. Now, the second reason why I believe God honored her request is because she found favor with God and man. So after a little misunderstanding and a bit of clarification, Eli says to Hannah in verse 17, in that case, now that that's cleared up, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him. Our story today tells us that Hannah was blessed by her husband, by Eli the priest, and in addition, she was remembered by God. Okay. We may take this for granted in our culture today, but biblical blessings were expected to come to pass. Yeah. Right. There wasn't any question as to whether it would come true because people back then didn't just talk to have something to say. Right. And that is precisely why I believe Hannah went back to her family, began to eat, and was no longer sad. Yeah. She just knew her request would be honored and that a baby was on the way. Yeah. In addition, God knew he could trust her to fulfill her vow. Hannah, during her great anguish and prayer, vowed this to God. Oh, Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut.
Amen.
In this vow, check this out, she honored the Lord with the first fruit of the children she would produce. In other words, she believed she received when she prayed. It was in that moment that her demeanor changed, that her disposition changed, and her decisions changed accordingly. The Bible says the entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea. And in due time, she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, I asked the Lord for him. What a powerful change of events. Isn't that what favor will do?
Yeah.
To have found favor with God and man.
Yes.
Now, the third reason why I believe God honored her request is because Hannah rejoiced in the Lord.
Uh-huh.
If we read to the end of this chapter and go into the next, chapter 2 starts with a prayer from Hannah, and she rejoices and delights in the Lord. And what we notice is that this isn't the same downhearted, sorrowful, anguish-filled, weeping woman we met in chapter 1.
All right.
Now, my question is this. How can this be? How can a woman who was taunted and barren go through birthing and weaning, drop the kid off, and then rejoice?
Go ahead.
And I think I figured it out. It's the difference that joy makes.
Well,
one would think, though, in the natural mind, that she just lost what she prayed the game. But I suspect that Hannah realized that if God could do it before, he would certainly do it again. And he does. Hannah gives birth to 3 more sons and 2 daughters. Now, that will have you skipping and prancing as well as rejoicing and dancing. It's nothing like coming through when you're on. It's nothing like God coming through when you only had a wing and a prayer. It still amazes me that he always shows up right on time. The Bible says in everything, give thanks. So regardless of your circumstances, rejoice in the Lord always. So let me conclude this way.
Go ahead.
Children are a gift.
Yes, they are.
I know. Ask my mother. She'll tell you. Okay.
No comment.
On that note.
Matter of fact, I'll even go so far as to say she will happily tell you. But be that as it may, children are a gift that so many people take for granted.
Amen.
We learned this during the pandemic we recently experienced. The reports that we received were horrific and unimaginable. But a child for Hannah was her heart's desire simply because she wanted to be included. No one likes to be teased. No one enjoys being taunted. No one expects to be skipped over. And no one deserves to be left out. And no one wants to be excluded. And here's a prime example. A friend of mine told me that she basically hates going to church on Mother's Day, because in not having children, she was skipped over for the prize of motherhood given that day, such as a rose, basket, or some other trinket. Now, somebody may say or think, what's the big deal? But if you haven't experienced being left out, you don't know how hurtful it is. What turns out to be a celebration for one group can be a traumatic experience for another, even if or when it is not their fault.
Amen.
Because as we learned today, it wasn't Hannah's fault. The Lord kept Hannah from having children, according to verse 6. Yet it did not stop her from being ostracized, ridiculed, and left out anyway. Fast forward to today, and the circumstances for childlessness may be different. Whether she doesn't want any children, aborted the mission, had a miscarriage, her body rejected IVF treatments, she learned she was infertile, she lost a child, or had a stillborn, there is still a misnomer or stigmatism around women without children. Now, pressure to have children may have decreased dramatically over time, but it still carries a heavy load and a heavy weight. All my friend wanted was for her church to be more sensitive in this area, and I know exactly what she means. Church is the one place where we are encourage people to come as you are. Whether you are broken, barren, bothered, or living your very best life, the church church not a club for certain members only. They should come in here and feel the love of Christ no matter the situation. Let me tell you one thing that I love about this church. I love the name of our women's group here at RCM2, Women on One Accord. No one's too tall, too skinny, too old, too young, too anything. We are all on one accord when we come together. Whether you know it or not, that is powerful and that's crucial, because somebody somewhere needs you to come alongside them. Somebody needs you to be on one accord in their life. And somebody needs what Hannah teaches us, and that is that God specializes even when things seem impossible. Matter of fact, especially when things seem impossible. See, Hannah can get even more personal and tell us, I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. And that's why I trust him, because he'll never fail. So no matter what you are facing, I encourage you, like Hannah, to give it to God in prayer. To rejoice in the Lord no matter the outcome, and enjoy the blessings and favor he gives. Now again, I pray that each of you have the happiest Mother's Day possible. Amen. Amen. Amen.